Well, can I welcome you to our streamed prayer meeting this evening? It's good to join together as much as we can and to seek God's face for a number of important matters. This evening, Ray Trainer will speak, give us some teaching on Psalm 7. We're really thankful for Ray for the recordings that he's done in advance for us, and I trust this evening will be a blessing to us. Before we sing, let me just remind you that, God willing, on the 6th of September, Sunday evening, the plan is to have the doors open to welcome people into the evening service. And if you're thinking of coming, we appreciate that your plans may change between now and then, but if you are thinking of coming, if you could let us know, that would be very helpful. After this meeting, we'll show a video that we've prepared just to show people what the building looks like and talk through just some very simple but important matters that you need to have in mind as you come for that. That may help you make your decision as about whether you come or not on the first Sunday that we open. So I'll leave that to you. We're going to sing, and then straight after the song, Ray will read Psalm 7 and then teach on it. Before we sing, let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that throughout all of today, you have been our God and you are our God. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this evening to be together as much as is possible. And we pray that your Spirit would be present with all of us in that way that helps us to pray humbly, sincerely, fervently, for you to act and for your will to be done, your kingdom to come. Lord, help us, we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing a lovely song of assurance and trust in God. When I fear, my faithful feel, Christ will hold me fast.
Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till I face this curse to sight. When He comes.
Psalm 7, a Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjaminite. Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Lord, my God, if I have done this, and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather round you, while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked, and make the righteous secure, you the righteous God who probes minds and hearts. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Let us pray. Oh, our gracious Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are the Lord who provides. You provide us with all that we have that is good within our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation in Christ above all else, that we can stand before you righteous, clothed in his righteousness, our sins fully paid for. We thank you that you remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, that you remember our sins no more. We thank you for the provision of our salvation in your Son. We thank you, Lord, for so many other good things in our lives, the Lord's Day. We thank you for the fellowship of other Christians struggling at this time of pandemic. But Lord, it shows us how important that fellowship is. We thank you, Lord, for the provision of your word. We thank you that we can trust it. We thank you that it is a word that transforms us as we read it. By your Spirit, you open its truths to us. and you transform us by it. Lord, help us not to be those who, as it were, just think we know best. And so we take your word and we twist it and turn it to suit ourselves. We subject it to our own understanding, to our own prejudice, whatever it might be. Lord, help us truly to be those who are open to your word, that we hear your word and we listen to your word and we obey your word and we are changed by your word. We help, pray, Lord, you do help us tonight as we look at Psalm 7, that again you'll teach us some truth from your word. There is so much in this psalm, as there is in all these psalms, that we can only, as it were, wade in the shallows. But Lord, we pray that you would teach us through your word, that we may be your people. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Saviour. Amen. One of the most disturbing things we face in our lives is the slander of others. Isn't that right? There's an old children's rhyme, which I'm sure all of you have heard. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never can never hurt me. But that nursery rhyme is actually very, very far from the truth, isn't it? It really is. Slander really, really does hurt, doesn't it? When people, perhaps even our friends, particularly our friends, when they misrepresent us to others, it's extremely painful, isn't it? To have our character maligned is truly distressing. So how should we handle such things? What should our attitude be towards these things, towards slander, towards misrepresentation? Now, as believers, as Christians, we're commanded by Jesus himself to love our enemies. In Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. So we're to love our enemies. And that's it, isn't it? We're to follow the example of Jesus in our own lives. We're to exhibit, so to speak, the family likeness. We're to be children of the Father. Jesus, our elder brother, is to be our perfect example. We're to be Christ-like. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. And we're to be like Christ, aren't we? We're to love our enemies. Now, in certain circumstances, it may indeed be utterly essential for us to defend outwardly, with words and with actions, our name and our character from false accusations. That is true on occasion. It's obviously true. However, within this psalm, within Psalm 7, we see a very different course of action from mere outward defence. And I would suggest this different course of action from which we see within this psalm actually illustrates for us the normal and the wise and the best way in which we should handle slander and misrepresentation in our lives. This is the normal way. You see, in this psalm, David is facing a false accusation from a Benjaminite called Cush, probably a close relative of King Saul, perhaps. We see this in the title of the psalm, in fact, a Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjaminite. So what was the specific accusation directed at David by this man Cush? What was it? Well, we don't know. We just don't know. Perhaps it was an attack on David simply because he was the Lord's anointed. Perhaps it was the suggestion that David had not been truly loyal to King Saul, this man's relative and David's king. Perhaps it was something else, we don't know. But whatever it was, the accusation clearly rankled and hurt David. That is clear. David speaks of this slander in verse 2 as being torn apart by a lion or as being ripped to pieces with no one to rescue him. It truly got under David's skin, didn't it? And it harmed him. However, what's particularly important is how David handles this injustice. And it's a real lesson for us. We need to follow this example of David. For David's attitude shows us how we also should react in similar circumstances in life. So what does David do? Well, he brings the false accusation to the Lord. In prayer, he brings it to the Lord. And he leaves it with the Lord. For the Lord to vindicate David's name in the Lord's own way and in the Lord's own time. That's what David does. And what a lesson that is for us. What a lesson that is for us. Taking it to the Lord and leaving it with the Lord. What a lesson. For so often we want to take vengeance into our own hands, don't we? Isn't that right? Of course it is. Isn't that what we want to do? But no. No. Romans 12 verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. However, how in particular does David bring his concerns to the Lord? Well, in two ways. And these are my two points, particularly for this evening. First, in verses 3-9. David lays his own life before the Lord. In fact, there's an amazing openness, isn't there? There's an amazing integrity within these verses, verses 3-9. In verses 3-5, David is effectively asking if there is any genuine foundation to the accusations that have been directed against him. And if there is any foundation to those accusations, well, for the Lord to deal with David accordingly. That's what David writes. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 3. Lord my God, if I have done this, and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Amazing, isn't it? However, David is confident, isn't he? David is confident that his conscience, on this particular issue of the slander, that his conscience is clear. This can be seen in verses 6-9, verse 8, vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness. David is not speaking there of the righteousness of his whole life, but about the specific matter of this false accusation against him. Vindicate me, Lord. According to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. So what does this teach us? Well, it teaches us, doesn't it, just how vital it is for us to walk with a clear conscience before the Lord within this world. This is so, so important for us. Sadly, we often expect the Lord to help us even when we simply live to please ourselves. Isn't that so? There's a well-known verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, which says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But the verse immediately preceding that wonderful verse places very distinct boundaries around that glorious truth. You notice that? What does that verse before say? What does verse 6 say? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then it says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Only if we've humbled ourselves before the Lord, only if we walk before him with a clear conscience, doing his will, only then can we expect vindication from his hand. But not only does David lay his own life before the Lord, David, secondly, also meditates upon the character of God himself. This is seen particularly in verses 10 through to 16. So what does David discover about God, about God's character? What does David discover? Well, three things. First, that God is his shield. Verse 10, my shield is God Most High who saves the upright in heart. Now, how wonderful is that? How wonderful. God is David's shield. David has security in God. David knows that he is safe in God's hands. Though this world may shoot its slanderous arrows against David, David is secure. He's safe. He's in the Lord's hands. God will defend him. God will shield him. In fact, that's precisely why David takes this slander to God in prayer in the first place, isn't it? Who better than God himself to plead his cause and to vindicate his character and name? Who better? Second, not only is God a shield, God is a righteous judge. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. You see, David knows that God will judge fairly and impartially this world. David knows that God understands fully what's right and what's wrong. And though there may be many who are wrongly prejudiced against David, yet the one who truly matters, God himself, he knows the truth. And what an encouragement that is for us too. What an encouragement. God will bring perfect justice upon all the wrong within this world. When you're slandered, particularly slandered for your faith, God will vindicate you. God will bring perfect judgment. God's judgment is a good thing, isn't it? It means that all the wrong against you will be dealt with perfectly and fairly by God. Genesis 18, verse 25, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Third, not only is God a shield, not only is God a righteous judge, we see finally that God will even use the wicked plans of men against themselves. It's ironic, isn't it? Seen in verses 12 to 16. Consider, for example, the last two of those verses. Verse 15, whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. God is in control, you see. God is in charge. The end of all the plans of the wicked are the very opposite of what they intend. We can look to God to act on our behalf. We can trust God. He knows best. He's working out his perfect plans for our good. Our God is on our side. 1 John 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It's amazing, isn't it? Encouraging. Our God is in control. He's our shield. He's a righteous judge. He is sovereign. So what should our response be to all this? Well, we see that response in verse 17, don't we? I will give thanks to the Lord, David writes. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Well, may we also do so. Amen.
Well, I trust you find that helpful to be brought through Psalm 7 like that. We're thankful to Ray for his ministry. We're going to take a few minutes just to pause and in prayer respond to the God who has spoken to us. Perhaps as Ray has spoken, maybe just a few words or sentence or a verse has struck home. Stay there and let God hear your response of thankfulness or confession. Or just rejoicing that God is any one of those shield, righteous judge, or that he can use the plans of the wicked against them. Let's come to our God with his Spirit's help as we give him thanks for his word. I'm going to start to pray and then we'll have a few minutes, 3 minutes, and if it helps, there's a clock on the screen for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are a refuge for your people, come what may. We thank you that even if we find ourselves misrepresented, misunderstood or misrepresented by others, that you are the God we can come to and meekly lay ourselves before you and expectantly hide ourselves in you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the rough and tumble of David's life that produced so much fruit in recorded songs and prayers. We thank you for its benefit to us. Would you help us in our prayers, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our prayers to a close. God, we thank you that because of the way in which you deal with us in our sin and in our broken world, we can know moments where we can give to you, our God, the thanks that is due to your righteousness. We bless you that we're not giving thanks to you for our righteousness. Oh, we thank you we can sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Lord, when we get downtrodden through our challenges, would you help us to lift our eyes to the Lord who is the Most High. Lord, receive our praise. Hear our confession. Strengthen us, your people, and confirm to us this wonderful truth that you are our refuge, our shield, our hiding place always. Receive our prayers, we ask. Amen. The psalm finishes about singing, doesn't it? Singing praise to God. We'll do that in a few moments. Before we do, I'm going to invite you to another time of prayer. And this time, really for the church family to which we belong. I'm conscious that some people will be joining us and you're not from the church here in Southport. Can I encourage you to pray for your own home church during this time? Let me just run through some names and situations for us. Inez is still in Eventide and she sends her love to the church family and her appreciation for your prayers. There's still as yet no decision about Inez's long-term location as to where she'll live and receive care, and that's just starting to take its toll, that uncertainty. So can I encourage you to pray for Inez in that. Tony and Owen Carroll, Tony's condition is stabilised somewhat back at home. They're thankful for that and they continue to know God's goodness there. Obviously remembering Irene and the plans for Michelle to come back home. Laura Graham expresses her appreciation to you as a church for your prayers. She asked me to relay those her thanks to you. Monday went well and there are plans for various treatments and then a plan for a longer term stay in hospital planned to receive care that will set her up, God willing, physically for a longer term future. And so there's lots of good plans in place. So we're thankful for that. David and Iris, the situation continues. Iris knows some moments of stability as well as vulnerability, and David would appreciate your prayers for them both. Viv and Joyce, as of Sunday afternoon, Joyce has been in hospital in Southport with severe stomach pains. And she's been in hospital really for them to investigate that and try and get to the cause of that. So can you pray for Viv and Joyce in that as the medics do tests and try to get an understanding? And then this is that concern for the longer term future as well. And if you can be praying for that, that would be helpful. Margaret James, it was mentioned that Margaret's brother passed away suddenly, and we were praying for Margaret and Lynn. Lynn is her sister-in-law, and the funeral is on Friday at the crematorium. Stephen Ed continues to receive treatment and assessments about his health. I'm sure he'd appreciate your prayers. The Millard's settling into Thailand. Karen, Olive and the family. We saw some pictures on Sunday, didn't we, of baby Theo and Gracie, Harriet and Ben and Rosie and Zach. Derek and Jean King. Derek continues to recover at home, is gaining strength, thankful for that, but just continues to need our loving support. Audrey, that's Sharon's mum, Sharon Trainer, and continues to be in the care home and knowing God's goodness there. And then Doreen Martin as well, mentioned a number of times in recent days for receiving care and treatment for cancer. And then just to say about the return to school, this is both, there are some teachers, teaching assistants and admin staff represented in the church. So it's not just the students who are going back and nervous about starting. There are implications for quite a number of the church family, as well as the young people and children. So we're praying for them and that things would go well and be handled well by the schools. And then, generally speaking, for the regathering of churches, you'll know that some churches are meeting already. Some churches, like ourselves, are starting to meet in a few weeks' time. Put on their permanent free grace. That's where Matthew Gray, Matthew and Helen are. We've been praying for them this evening, just that the Lord will continue to bless them as a church. They've been meeting for a few weeks now, and they're thankful for that. But just that that loving patience with one another in church families, wisdom for the leaders, patience within the congregation, and just that regathering and being able to encourage one another. It's one of the things I've missed the most, is being able to encourage and speak to each other and encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. And then just to say, very briefly, we've been praying for baby Asher. Asher is the Charlton's grandson who's in India. Today, it's almost 8:10. If all has gone well, 2 hours ago, Asher with his dad should have arrived in the UK. And the idea then would have been to go from the arrival, their airport, to by ambulance to a hospital in Oxford, and that was the latest I had. So they were in the air during the day as planned, so very thankful for that. There's a lot there. That's not an exhaustive list, but it's just a reminder of some of the things that's happening. So can I commend those things to you? Just to say very briefly on lighter notes, it's Enid's birthday tomorrow, it's Mike Sumner's birthday on Monday, and it's Peter and Barbara's, let me get this right, Peter and Barbara's diamond wedding anniversary on the 3rd of September. And that just slightly eclipses Peter's birthday, which is the next day on the 4th of September. So there's a number of celebrations over the next few days. Let's come to God in prayer. We've got another 3 minutes to pray together. I encourage you to use that wisely. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the families into which you've placed us. We thank you for the church family that unites us across generation, experiences, backgrounds, cultures, interests and hobbies. We thank you for the unity that we have and for the preciousness of the church family. We thank you for the privilege it is to love one another and to bear one another's burdens. Help us do that now, we pray. Amen. Father in heaven, receive our thanks and our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray for those who have been in care homes, some for many months, for whom lockdown has been isolating and hard to understand. We commit to Mary Britton and Margaret Collins, for Joyce Davis, for Stella Crispin and Betty Hillwood. Well, we thank you for these dear sisters in Christ, and ask that, as only you can, that you would grant them a peace of heart and mind in these days. Lord, would you hear all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to pray for gospel opportunities. Before we do, we're going to do what Psalm 7 does at the end. We're going to sing to our God. This song is entitled, I Will Glory in My Redeemer. Let's sing it together.
I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the Savior, before the holy judge, the Lamb who
Well, shall we pray again, one more time this evening? We're going to pray for gospel opportunities. Here are some thoughts to get you going. The Gideons, the school term starts, the academic year starts, and that's when the Gideons normally start approaching the schools to gain access to circulate New Testament and Psalms, and as well as some gospel magazines. So opportunities before the Gideons. Let's pray. It's an increasingly secular world. And it's harder for non-Christian teachers to say yes, and it's harder for the Gideons to keep those good relationships with schools, colleges, and universities. So you can pray for that work. Gospel opportunities in the workplace. Some of you are going back to work. Some of you haven't stopped work at all, but some of you are going back to work in these days. And there'll be all sorts of things discussed, possibly more open than ever before. Fears, apprehensions, funny moments at home, real burdens. And some of our work colleagues will come to work and they will be emotionally and psychologically wounded from the last few months as well. There are opportunities to speak the truth, and the grace and the peace of Christ, as well as to show love and compassion to our colleagues. So we can pray for one another as you go back to work. Let me remind you that Nicola starts her role next week as a full-time worker here in the church. We're thankful for that opportunity for her and us as a church. And so among many requests, can I encourage you to pray for gospel opportunities to arise as Nicola is able to have more time, God willing, with people. That might be initially at a distance and through Zoom and whatnot, but time with people that would produce gospel opportunities in conversations. You may have people that you've been praying for, I'm sure you do. People in your family, children, grandchildren, people within the influence of your ministry, groups who attended groups in which you're involved, and they're on your heart. Can I encourage you to pray? Pray for the effectiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the, remember, the power of God unto salvation. So we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, you are the saving God, that from you comes the gospel. And from the gospel, there is power for salvation. We thank you for your Spirit who works in the proclamation, the delivery, as well as the understanding of the gospel. Lord, we come to you and pray not just for the church here, but churches elsewhere. Not just for the churches elsewhere, but for our nation and the world. That you would have saving mercy. Help us, we pray. Amen. Let me close that time of prayer. Father, we commit to you the ministries that will happen on Sunday. We pray for ourselves, the church here, with John Benton's ministry, morning and evening. We pray for the ministries of the local churches in Southport. We pray, whether that's online or with doors open to a physical building. We pray, gracious God, that your truth taught will have the powerful ministry of your Spirit in and around and surrounding it. We pray that those who hear the teaching of your word will find themselves able and willing in faith to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, able and willing to confess sin and cling to Christ. We pray for nations and this nation. We pray for churches and this church. We pray for conversations and the conversations that we'll have. We pray for workplaces and our own workplaces. We pray, gracious God, for the gospel to spread, to be faithfully taught, proclaimed and lived, and for it to be received by those who hear it. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Amen.